Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally Elcordi, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my guest is Greg Wyatt. He's the father of two autistic children, and he has entitled this show Vaccine Injury Hell. Well, I know a whole lot of people who would agree with him, so let me pick up Greg Wyatt immediately. Okay, I'm going to try that again. Okay, hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you, Sally?
Well, thank you very much for calling into the program. I want to thank Donna Delacat for recommending that I contact you. She said he's a mover and a shaker, and I said, and a candlestick maker? But you have started the Vaccine Truth Movement and several other groups. Why don't you tell everybody all of the names of your groups? And I neglected to add the link to Vaccine Truth Movement. I will do that after the show. But please tell them all of the names of your groups, and then we will embark on our conversation.
Sure. Yeah, well, I started out with the Vaccine Truth Movement as a way to kind of coordinate, the truth about vaccines and the fact that they're not what they're portrayed to be in any means. And that's my major group. And then I have another one. It's called the Vaccine Injury Memorial. I found, Sally, that I was literally being contacted by so many people, so many stories, I can't even keep the name straight. That's how bad it is. That's how serious of a problem this is. We're talking about human lives and human suffering, and it's just such a tragedy. So I focus on people that have given me permission to post their stories, sometimes anonymous, and sometimes using their names. But unless we speak out and let the public know that this is going on, the mainstream media is never going to cover it, because they're sponsored by the vaccine companies, Big Pharma. They make a lot of money on advertising, so it's hard to find the truth. Now, the CDC Wall of Shame, that was putting information out there that a lot of people, you just can't find. It's directly related to the CDC and how they operate and suppress information and portray information that isn't true. And it's really easy to see, Sally, if you have all the links and the information in front of you. One of the things that I want to attempt to do in the next, 3, 6 months or year is to bring everyone together in a cohesive manner to battle these demons of Big Pharma. Seems like there's so many groups out there, and that's the way they want to keep it. They want to keep everybody splintered. They don't want people to get on the same page, because we are a force to be reckoned with the advent of the internet 20 years ago, and specifically smartphones that have exploded in the last 36 months. There's really no place to hide for these rats. Everything's so transparent. All one needs to do is, if they want to investigate, if they have a mind left to investigate, and be objective and look at the real facts, not the facts that are portrayed by the media, it's an easy decision to be able to realize that vaccines are not safe, nor are they effective, and they have done billions, if not trillions, of dollars worth of permanent damage to the very recipients that they pledged to make healthy and eliminate disease. It's insane. It really makes no sense. So I would urge your listeners not to listen to me from a pro-vaccine or an anti-vaccine stance, but look at it as a pro-education, because the more you find out, the less you're going to want to inject your child with toxic substances. So the Vaccine Truth Education Group was formed to learn how to effectively talk to the public about the dangers of vaccines. One of the big lies, the biggest lie that I found out is this herd immunity, and how it's portrayed that we're at 92 to 93%. Well, the people that I talk to, and these are people that are just off the street, they're aware of the dangers of vaccines. They're very, very skeptical. They're not only skeptical of vaccines, they're skeptical of the whole establishment, the whole rotten, stinking thing. And you just look at our, you look at the debates, and you can see a bunch of mindless puppets that have sold us out, the very people that trusted them and elected them to represent us in our best interests, have sold us out. And it's no different than the vaccine industry, the pharmaceutical industry. We have been sold out lock, stock, and barrel. And there's, you know, a lot of people are feeling helpless, and they're feeling scared. Now, those were my Facebook sites. And I also have a YouTube channel that I put up 8 years ago, just as a cutesy sort of thing to remember my kids when they were little. Even though my son's severely vaccine injured, I still love him just as much as if he would be a normal, non-vaccine injured child. And it's fun to go back for me and to see how far he's came. We've spent well over 17 years to make him everything that he could be, everything that the vaccines and Big Pharma stole from him. He's the victim, not me. I'm a secondary victim, but he's the one that has to live with it. And so that one is, my YouTube channel is autismnews.com, and that's spelled out AUTISMNEWSDOTCOM. And you can see how vaccine damage has affected our life and how it's affected my son's life too. And so that's pretty much it. It's been kind of a long week. I'm happy that we're talking. I've been looking forward to speaking to you and thanking you for doing everything that you're doing. We need more people that'll stand up, that will be heard, and that will make a difference. Because if we don't do that, we're destined to a life of failure, frustration, pain, sorrow, and suffering. And everything may seem good now, but believe me, beneath the surface, it's a real, real mess.
I would like to ask you, how much do you spend out of pocket? I know I've spoken to many autism parents and HPV, Gardasil injured girl parents, and a lot of people are losing their homes, their cars. A lot of people are in divorce. Has any of this affected you? And please share with us what has.
Oh, that's 90% of the parents that have autistic kids that have vaccine-damaged kids. I don't like to use the word autism. Autism doesn't exist. It really doesn't. It's just a label for chemically-induced brain damage that's been delivered by injection and called vaccination. But I've personally, I would say my wife and I, we've been very successful in our lives. And about 10 years ago, the vaccine damage just took over, living with it. We have a whole entourage of people that help us raise our kids. My son is 18 now. He's on the level of a 3-year-old. My daughter's 16, and she's on the level of an 8-year-old. And they're never going to grow up. They're always going to be, you know, little kids, even in adult bodies. And I would say it's probably roughly around $100,000 a year. And thank goodness in the state that I live in, that, you know, we've been in the system for 17 years. We were one of the first families. And now if you have the same problems that we do in our state, you don't get much help at all. There's no more money. You know, everything's been cannibalized, even though the economy, so-called economy, is booming. So many municipalities are going under. States are in the red. They can't make it. So they're cutting back on these services. As these children become adults, they're just, the money isn't there. The funding isn't there anymore. And you're looking at easily per child, if you ask any parent with a vaccine-damaged kid, could be anywhere from $50,000 to $200,000 a year. My son has, you know, state-mandated health coverage, and he underwent a Chiari. He had Chiari malformation. He had chronic headaches. And they looked and did an MRI and found that he had Chiari, and that's where your brain separates from the skull and drops down into your spinal canal and gives you a tethered cord, which means you could lose all the functions of everything below your neck. And I think that surgery alone, that's where we spent our 20th anniversary, in the hospital, Children's Hospital, while my son was sitting there with a 12-inch scar going down the back of his neck where they had to remove his skull. This kid has gone through hell. He's just gone through freaking hell. He's deaf. He's hearing impaired. He can't potty himself. He can't do anything for himself, everything that we take for granted. But I will say this, Sally, after 18 years of giving this kid unconditional love and love and love and love, unconditional, he is the most sweet soul you would ever meet. He tells me 5-10 times a day, "Love you, Dad." And he gives me a kiss and a hug. And that's so huge. I waited 18 years for that. But
wow.
Back to your question, it's financially devastating to deal with vaccine damage on every aspect. And my heart goes out to these families. 90% of them are decimated. And I will say this, that this is eugenics. It's population control, which is a whole nother story. But it's meant to control the population financially, emotionally, and physically. And I really started realizing that when I'll just kind of go back a little bit and I want to ask your listeners to ask themselves a question. If vaccines are safe and effective, why did Congress in 1986 passed the National Childhood Vaccine Injury and Liability Act to protect themselves from lawsuits from those who suffer death and illness from vaccine injury? A lot of people don't know it, but the pediatricians also have liability protection. So they don't really care. The vaccine companies don't care about making vaccines safe and effective. If you had a food company, do you think that you could get immunity from suffering and death from somebody eating your food, your toxic food? No. Here's the real kicker. In 2011, the Supreme Court backed that decision up. And the Supreme Court of the United States of America said that vaccines are unavoidably unsafe and therefore there will be no product liability lawsuits against manufacturers. And that's even if they could provide evidence that the vaccine could be made safer. So all this is being swept underneath the carpet. Vaccine companies don't even have to tell the truth because they're immune from every type of lawsuit that could be filed. So they can lie and laugh all the way to the bank while your kids are laying dead and dying and injured in the hospital. Isn't America wonderful?
Wow. Well, you really laid this out brilliantly as only someone who has walked 10,000 miles in the shoes of an autistic father would. This is very, very powerful, and believe me, it takes quite a bit to choke me up, but you certainly have laid out the scenario perfectly. It's tragic. My sister, of course, is the reason I'm in this. My sister was one of the canaries in the coal mine, and I was 50 years old by the time my mother figured it out. She was lied to by 50 different specialists. And it wasn't until I started to just stop people in the street and say, what's going on with your kid? My sister was like this. What's with your kid? And they said, the doctor said it wasn't the vaccine. And they all said, the doctor said it wasn't the vaccine. And I never asked one of them, is it the vaccine? So this is how difficult it was to find out the truth. When did you find out that it was the vaccine, or did you know it immediately? What was your journey?
Just one moment. Well, we adopted our kids, my wife and I. We were older parents, and we decided we wanted to have a family and found out, of course, like many parents that are older, that nature had passed us by and it just wouldn't work. We tried in vitro fertilization twice, and that didn't work, so we decided to adopt. And we went through a private attorney, and within a short period of time, this young couple chose us. We got to know the couple, wanted to make sure that they were healthy and happy and well-adjusted, because we were going to get their child. She was a Hispanic gal, and he was a Hispanic guy down in Phoenix. And perfect health, no smoking, no drinking, no drugs. Got to know him quite well. And my son was born on Groundhog's Day, 1998. And he was born perfect. There was absolutely no complications, nothing wrong. However, a year before, in 1997, my wife, you know, the internet was kind of new back then, you know, it didn't really hit till 95. And she says, there's a strange new affliction called autism. And they say it's hitting one out of 185 boys. And I just kind of said, oh, well, one out of 185, what are the chances of that happening to us? She says, well, Greg, what I want to do is to cut back on the vaccines. You know, they give, like, back then it was like 7 to a two-month-old baby that weighs 15 pounds. 7 vaccines, 7 toxic vaccines. And now you got to remember, I'm a guy, I didn't really research it. I always trusted doctors. Biggest mistake of my life. Don't trust the doctors. Do your own research. So we decided
don't
to
leave
space
them alone
the vaccine.
With your kid either. Don't leave them alone with your kid either.
Oh, absolutely, especially nowadays. But so we spaced them out, and I have my kids' vaccine records here. We were one of the first test cases for the kangaroo vaccination court. And I'll go back to that a little bit later. But we spaced the shots out. I have his records right here in front of me. And he received the DTaP at 2 months old, the polio virus, and the Hib, and the hepatitis B. Only those 4 vaccines. And things just seemed okay. He got them first at two months, 4 months, and 5.5 months. And at 9 months, I noticed something a little bit different. Is his eye, his left eye, crossed over to the right. I'll never forget the day. It was a beautiful day. The sun was shining, and he had this beautiful smile. And I noticed that his eye was crossing over. And I didn't want to believe. Parents don't want to believe there's something wrong with their child. And I didn't even realize it till years later that that's one of the typical things that happens with delayed vaccine damage. See, people think that vaccine damage is like comes in a boom. It's very, very, very gradual. And that's why the vaccine injury court gets by with robbing people of their lives, because they give you as little as 24 hours to report an adverse reaction. My statistics and research shows that delayed vaccine injury is much, much more common than immediate vaccine injury, SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, or SUDS, sudden unexplained death syndrome. And it's something that with my child, it manifested itself after about right around 24 months, he went from, you know, it was very, very gradual with my son Weston. It didn't come as a boom, but we started noticing things were just not, he was sick all the time, and we take him to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, he has a fever and he's in pain, alternate Motrin and Tylenol. Little did we know we were destroying his gut. We were destroying his life. We were listening to the doctor. And, you know, to this day, this doctor, who is a well-known pediatric doctor, pediatrician, my wife seen him at the store, and he says, oh, how's your kids doing? He says, well, you know, they're still the same. He says, well, I know how you think. He was a very nice guy, always jovial, positive, but he was so full of BS, he couldn't even see the reality of what he had done, not only to my kids, but you got to remember, in late 1998, there was a lot of hot vaccines going on. There's a lot of kids right now that are 15 to 25 years old that were treated by him, and he still denies it, and he's a doctor. That shows you how brainwashed these doctors are. Well, of course they are, because they'd lose their livelihood, like Dr. Wakefield, should they tell the truth. Their careers will
be
destroyed.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, that I interviewed a nurse who had an autistic child, and she was saying, well, you know, you don't want them to lose their livelihood. I said, why not? Every autism parent I know is struggling. This woman had to move to a different area that was less expensive. She, you know, was making every concession in her own life, and yet, as a former nurse, she was protecting the doctor. And I was totally overwhelmed by that. I was like, you've got to be kidding. Now, I understand that you cannot, even if you claim bankruptcy, not pay back your student loans, and they certainly get these doctors up to the throat in debt before they start their practice. But at the same token, take a step back. Look at what you are inflicting just monetarily on these people because of their children. And let's talk about the future. How much do you think they aren't going to make and contribute? You know, if we're so concerned about the dollars here, let us take a way I ask about dollars. People who are just like, aw, his poor kids. When you talk dollars, they hear you. And often when I have lectures and people give me a blank stare, I will go directly into what their taxes go to, shoring up the pharmaceutical industries, who are then hurting our children. You know, sometimes you have to take that tack.
Yeah, the pharmaceutical companies are in bed with the politicians in Washington, and it's a money supply that goes back and forth. I call it it's like organized crime. The people that elected to protect us are basically looking out for themselves, and they don't really care about us people. And it's real easy to see. It's interesting with the presidential debates going on. They're about the most unpresidential bunch of people. I wouldn't even call them people. I mean, they're at the bottom of the barrel, but it's so easy when society has denigrated itself to such a severe degree that people are still buying into it. When they're talking about and laughing about the size of their hands and how it relates to their private parts, I can't even handle it. It's just, it's insane. And one of the things I like to tell people is I took the red pill, the reality pill. 98% of Americans have taken the blue pill, the bliss pill, and they don't see things as reality. Once you take the red pill and you learn the truth, you can never go back. It's like that vaccine, that toxic, dirty, stinking vaccine that you put maybe 14 different substances into your two-month-old baby because you're not smart enough to get online and to look up the truth and look at the facts and look at the history. And you can always tell the future by the history, and our future is very, very dark. I've pretty much given up on humanity as a whole. I haven't given up on individual people. Everywhere I go, you see babies, you see mothers, or you see older people that have grandbabies and have nieces and nephews. There's such an opportunity out there to spread the truth, but it's got to be done one-on-one. And it's so easy to do. That's why I put together the vaccine education group, Vaccine Truth Education, was to teach people. It's so easy to take 30 seconds. You don't have to go out. You don't have to do everything that we do to be involved as we do. All you need to do is take 5 or 10 minutes a day and carry some information with you that's noted on the Vaccine Truth Education Facebook site. It's all right there. You just print it up. And when you talk to people, they listen, especially when you ask them, do you know anybody that has autism? Everybody knows somebody that has autism. And it's because of this insane vaccine schedule that in many states, they're forcing on us. They're forcing death and destruction upon humanity. That comes in real handy if you're in an Obamacare state and you're on welfare and you get free health care. Then you're mandated to get these toxic vaccines. And you're in the system forever. You don't know how many people I know personally, and I'm just a regular guy here in my town, people that are on 5, 10, 15, or more medications a month, with the average cost of $200 to $300, $5 to $10 a pill. It's insane what has happened to society. This is not the world that I grew up in, but you needed to be part of the old school world to see how far we've fallen. I was born in 1955. I remember the world when we had respect and trust and we cared and we had common courtesy. I still refer to people as yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. And it bothers young people. You don't want to call somebody under 40, sir. They'll go, you don't need to call me that. Well, I was taught respect and love and caring. And unfortunately, Sally, this world is not going down that direction any longer. And I'm not only afraid for my kids, I'm afraid for humanity. Because we're coming to the end of something, and it's really, really bad. And waking up to vaccines and vaccine damage only made worse and accelerated my knowledge base to what is going on, the facts, the reality of life and people, and just how far we've fallen, especially in this electronic age.
Well put. Well put, Greg.
It's you know, with all these machines, it's supposed to make our life easier. Everyone, you drive down the street, it's amazing. 50% of people are either texting or talking on their cell phone. People don't know how to relax anymore. They don't know how to feel natural happiness. They get their happiness off of a text. And, hey, I'm even buying into it myself. I spend a majority of my time, I'm hooked up either on the internet. It's part of my job. It's part of my purpose now. But I look at business as a whole, it's transformed everything. On one hand, it's good because all these vaccine companies and all this information that's out there, all you have to do is seek it and you will find it. But unfortunately, so many people are listening to the television ads on the TV or the newspaper ads, the magazine ads that you need to get the whooping cough vaccine or your child is going to die. I mean, when I was growing up, I had measles, I had chicken pox, I had mumps, and I didn't die. So now we're giving ourselves 71 different toxic vaccines between birth and the age of 18 that are supposed to help us, and all they're doing is making us sick, causing death and destruction, and making these pharmaceutical companies a boatload of money at the expense of you and me.
Well, I have a way to get away from electronics. It's really simple. I just stand at a bus stop for 3 hours, two nights a week. And it's much better than approaching people in the street who are in a rush, which is what I used to do. Now I just, or I would stand on the way to a playground, so I'd get a mother either coming from or going to a playground, which is a good thing too. But the bus stop works well because, in a way, you have a captive audience. When there are many people at the stop, you basically introduce the conversation, and all of them, in consensus, by the time they board the bus, will have agreed that there is something wrong with vaccines. It's very interesting to see how that happens. But, you know, I would definitely recommend, when you do give literature to people, give it to them and then pull it back and say, I tell you what, I'm giving this to you, but I'm really giving it to every other parent you know. So will you promise me to share this information with them? Because I don't want to educate one person at a time. I want to educate one person who will take the message because they promised me they would. Not they will, but, you know, just in case. You know, you have to make the most of every encounter you can. You have to tell parents who are mortified because they've already vaccinated their children to forgive themselves. And because I had to forgive myself, I always say that, you know, I had to forgive myself. Going forward, though, just never vaccinate your child. And I will say that. Some people say, I won't tell people what to do. I will. I'm not there to mess around. I'm there to tell them it's poison, creates every disease in internal medicine, and the intention is to do that. I don't hold back. And I also tell them the very first shot you get when you're born, the second ingredient is for sterility. So I don't know that our children will be having children, and, you know, we need all hands on deck. So I don't know. It's very sobering, like everything you've just said, Greg. Extremely sobering. But at the same token, we either take this information, do something with it now. I recommended to you to use public access television and to tell you how effective this is. I don't truly express how effective this is. Now when I go to someone, when I hold out a flyer, people light up and come and take my flyer. They're like, oh, my God, she's got information for me. They know me. This can happen where you live, too. Your job can be ever so much easier if you embark on local public access, free-to-you television. So my job is now easier. It's far more pleasant than it used to be. I used to be threatened. I have been physically assaulted. So now I'm kind of enjoying not having that experience, you know?
Yeah, I understand it. There's some really good tools out there. There's a website, it's called learntherisk.org, and it's Larry Cook and Brandy Vaughn. Of course, Brandy Vaughn is a insider that used to work for Big Pharma that sold Vioxx, and we all know about Vioxx, another one of the toxic drugs that they actually killed many, 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 many people with. And if you go to learntherisk.org, they have some really, really great information that you can give to people. And when it just takes the edge off things. One of my favorites is, do you know what's in a vaccine? It's this little postage card size informational tool that do you know what's in a vaccine? Aluminum. Aluminum is huge. It's the same thing that's in chemtrails. And if you think chemtrails are wrong or fake, then you probably think vaccines are healthy. But aluminum is, if you take, you know, air or ground samples in to a laboratory, you will find very, very toxic levels of aluminum pretty much in everything. And this toxin, aluminum, accumulates in the brain. And it does so every time you get more and more, it just causes more damage. Well, then, of course, we have genetically modified yeast, animal, bacteria, and viral DNA, formaldehyde, human and animal cells, mercury, monosodium glutamate, polysorbate 80. What in the holy heck are they trying to do to humanity, having us inject these toxic substances under the guise of health? I mean, these people are going straight to the pits of hell for what they are doing and what they have done. And if there's any of them out there listening, you know what you are doing and you know what you have done, and you should get on your knees and pray for forgiveness, because you're going to spend eternity in a vastly different place than most of us. And I can't say it any more explicit than that, but it's a fact.
Well, I have to tell you something. I watched Mike Adams' video today about the health commissioner, I believe, from Australia, who came out and said there are no risks to vaccines. And he said someone should bitch slap her. I have to tell you, I really laughed. But anyway, there is the least of it. These people are guilty of murder. And giving our children diminished lives to look forward to. And I will just want to say a word, if I may, about the exemptions. 99% of activists, awake people in this state, are fighting to preserve exemptions for 0.8% of the population. This 0.8% is already injured. So the 99.2% that they're expected to grow up and mop up the mess of, they aren't even capable of it. But let's say we've got some brothers and sisters stuck in there, and they are well enough. You can't, how many people does it take to care for an autistic child? At least one. So it's one-on-one there. So I'm just saying it's impossible. I wouldn't even want to be part of the 0.8% that is well, because they're going to be it's impossible. What has transpired, we cannot undo. Beyond the sterility, which is very upsetting to me, I really was hoping to be a grandmother. I don't know that there's a possible matter is. Can this generation, they've just left us with nothing. So 5%, so 1% of us is fighting for the 99% to keep the number of vaccines down. We're pushing 80 here in New York. And the 99% is onto it, is simply fighting to protect the 0.8%. So it's a lose, 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 lose. This is a pharmaceutical dream. They have created a scenario that is a nightmare for us in reality, in terms of how can these kids be cared for? They can't.
There is no money in keeping people healthy. The money is in death and disease and maintaining people on that low level of death and disease. When I was born in 1955, there was 3 vaccines. Now there's 71 between birth and 18. Back in 55, there was 3. Did you know they have over 200 vaccines in testing phases right now under development?
Yeah.
What are we going to, what are we becoming as a society? A dumbed-down bunch of lemmings that cannot think, that are reliant upon the government from everything from food stamps to housing to free Obama phones. Everything's free. Nobody wants to work anymore, pretty much. I don't want to be absolute. But I see young people today, we have so many $10-an-hour jobs. It's incredible. And nobody wants to work them. You know why? Because you can't live on $10 an hour. You just can't do it. back in the 50s, you could earn minimum wage and you could buy a house and a car. Granted, you were still poor, but you could do that. Right now, you work for minimum wage. You can't even pay your rent, let alone buy food and health care and gas and insurance. The United States is becoming a third world country, and it's all destruction by design. It's eugenics. I wish all your listeners would look up that word. 20 years ago, when I started talking about eugenics, people just were clueless. Now you can just go, you know, look it up. But anyway, I need to wrap this up. My wife just came home with the kids and my life, but I wanted to just go over, you know, real quick about my Facebook group, Vaccine Truth Movement. Just go on Facebook and type in Vaccine Truth Movement. And then there's Vaccine Truth Education. You can learn more on becoming a Vaccine Truth Crisis Team member and how to stop this insanity. We want to help you learn how to talk effectively to anyone about the dangers of vaccines. And let me say this, Nancy, if people start battling you, Sally, on what you're saying, just walk away. Just, you don't need to battle people and engage them, because you can't change a person's mind that is so closed. You just can't do it. And you're going to get frustrated. You're expending energy that you don't have to, and you're wasting your time. The other one is the CDC Wall of Shame. It's an all-online memorial for friends and families of those who've been injured and killed by toxic vaccines. And those are pretty much, the last one is my YouTube channel, autismnews.com, and that's spelled out. All you need to do is put the name Weston and autism, and it goes right to his videos. Our videos have over 1 million views.
Views. Oh, that's fantastic.
And all I want to do is, honestly, I have a compassion and a caring heart to make sure other people never, ever have to go through what my son has went through and consequently what my wife has gone through. I'm lucky. That's why I'm still married. I have an incredible wife, an incredible support system, because quite frankly, all this stuff, you know, kind of gives me a few blue days once in a while, looking at society and where I came from and where we're at today. It's not good. It's not good at all. And I tell you, you should, you know, encourage your listeners to seek the truth. If you hear something on the news, chances are it's a lie. That's the way it is. Everything's a lie. And I'm not being cynical or pessimistic. I took the red pill. I see things as they really, really are. And I just would like to thank you for giving me this 40 minutes of time with you today and with your listeners. And hopefully we made a difference in somebody's life, because that's what life is all about. That's what humanity is all about. Caring and loving your fellow man.
Well, thank you very much, Greg. I really appreciate you coming on the program and speaking as candidly as you have. I am sure you will get through to people. So thank you. My dog is going to go on a barking spree. But the show's almost over, and I just want to thank you. And I will put the links to all of your groups in the comments area below. I'll put the Vaccine Truth directly under the screen, the Vaccine Truth Movement, and then all the others in the comment area. When you scroll down, you'll be able to look at his groups and join his groups directly by clicking. Okay, thanks
again. Once again,
really appreciate it.
Yeah, and once again, Sally, I want to thank you for everything that you do and all the difference that you're making.
Lord knows we try. All right, cheers.
Amen. God bless.
Okay, you
take care, Sally.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.